Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Mailbag, our version of our Q&As where we get to answer your questions that come in via DMs or emails. We really like these. It's a way of really connecting with our audience and it feels really personal. Even though we always respond to every message we get, of course, this is a good way of allowing those messages to go further and wider and help other people who are probably thinking and feeling the same things. So without further ado, let's get into it. This week's first question came in from actually one of our Nexus Fertility community members. I feel like I'm at the point where I want to tell my friends and family about my diagnosis. Do you have any tips and how did you do it? So firstly, to answer the end of that, how did I do it? My story in that respect probably isn't that transferable. It's a bit of a strange situation, really. It was in lockdown and the BBC had spoken to our clinic and asked them to, if any of their patients would be willing to talk about how COVID had impacted fertility treatment because all clinics got shut down. And we were one of those couples who were ready to go, but then had to pause everything again because of the lockdowns. So we'd agreed to this and they came round and I actually covered this in more depth on a previous episode where we have the guest Ben Tansley. So I'll try not to go over too much of that, but I heard his story and how inspirational it was about how he shares what he went through to help others. And something just sparked within me and I just really wanted to start sharing what I'd been through despite not having told anyone at that point. So I spilled all to this BBC crew. And then after they went, I frantically phoned around my friends and family that evening and told them all because I thought, well, I can't have them seeing this for the first time on the news. I have to tell them in a more personal way. As it happens, none of that made the footage because it wasn't about my story of male infertility. It was about COVID lockdowns and the impact on fertility treatment. But it was probably for me the prompt that I needed to do it at the time. And I don't regret doing so because the way in which it was received was brilliant, especially by my mates who had no experience of going through fertility treatment or any kind of male factor subfertility. They all had children easily and naturally. And I had previously not told them because I thought they wouldn't get it, but they perhaps didn't. But the way in which they received it with empathy and compassion really made me regret not telling them sooner. So that's my personal experience. What I have said many times is before is, you know, by not telling people, you're robbing them of that opportunity to help you. And I realized at that moment I had been doing that. Now, what I would say in terms of giving advice about other people who want to start talking about it, first and foremost, it is your choice as and when you do that. It's your story, your experience, and it's your life. You know, it's every day, isn't it? It consumes you. So there's no pressure to, but if you're feeling like you're at that stage, and like I said, by not telling people, you're potentially not giving yourself places to vent and to air this out and like have those powerful conversations with friends and family. So if you're at that stage, first and foremost, let's say it's like a graph, X and Y. Like X is how you would like to say it, how you would like to put it across. And that's the most important part of the graph, I'd say, is what you feel comfortable with doing. Is it in person? Is it via text message? As in typing it out? Is it via voice note, for example? Because if it's via some sort of technological communication, then of course you can probably write it. If you're going to type it, for example, you can type it out and probably edit it over a few days and really get across the key points you want to without pressure, without emotion, without like that real life situation of having to do it in person, which could be really hard. You could really get those points across, particularly if there's going to be an explanation kind of element to it as to maybe why you haven't been yourself for quite some time probably. So you've got that kind of the X part of the graph where it's how you would want to put it across. And then the Y is going to be who you're trying to put it across to, because that might change depending on who you're wanting to convey the message to, whether it is family members who might be a little bit more old school, for example, and not get it. Like, you know, I remember when I told my nans about us opting to go for donor conception. They just didn't understand what I was talking about. You know, the world and science and medicine had come a long way since they were having children, like, I don't know, 60, 70 years prior to me then telling them what we were doing. So it's going to be dependent on who you're telling and how. And then at some point that graph will meet. So you'll probably then figure out how you want to do it for certain people, whether it's, let's say if it's mates, whether you're going to meet up at a social situation, and then how you're going to facilitate that conversation. Then do you kind of want to say, look, guys, you know, I've got something to tell you all, but then it's going to come down to where you are. You know, you don't want to be almost like hitting a glass with a bit of cutlery like you were to announce a speech. You know, it's about the right moment, the right time frame of doing it, and they're just the right scenario. So figure out where you are on that graph and who it is you want to talk to, and then go from there. Find a plan from there. But yeah, just like I said at the outset, the most important thing is that you acknowledge it's your gift to give, really, that telling that and allowing people into that space, into your personal life in such a deep situation. The next question, then, this one came into me via Instagram. It says, what would you change about your infertility journey? And yeah, the quite simple answer for that one is nothing. I really wouldn't. And I thought about this because I've said it almost flippantly before on other podcasts or on our podcast. Oh, I wouldn't change a thing of what I've been through because it got me where I am, and that's to be the father of my children. But when I got that one, that's the beauty of life, is that opinions can change and you can re-review things and there might be a slightly different answer. And I started thinking about the whole situation, because previously I've answered it almost from a personal perspective, or almost solely from a personal perspective of me. So I started thinking about my wife a little bit and what she had to go through as a result of my infertility. And like, for example, I thought a lot about when she got ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. She was very poorly. It meant that we couldn't then have our first fresh transfer that was all planned because she was so poorly, and she had to let her bodies get back to normal. And that is what she has said. And I was there, I lived it with her, but that was her lowest point. Like, she was so deeply, deeply upset. Would I change that? Would I have try and prevent her having that? But the answer is still no. I wouldn't change that either, because you just don't know the route in which, like, things would have gone. Like, if we had had that fresh transfer, if she didn't get OHSS, for example, would that have been a failed transfer? Would it have been successful, but then other complications down the line? We just don't know. And I do truly believe, I'm not a religious man, but I do believe that what we went through was what we were meant to go through. It was guiding us to our children, and it was guiding us to exactly who was supposed to be our children. Out of all the embryos that we had, for example, it was those that we selected and it became our kids. It was every disappointment, every upset, every failed operation, every COVID delay, every OHSS putting us back. You know, for example, all of these delays, but also there would have been shortcuts down the line as well. We navigated the NHS funding system extremely quickly in relative terms. So things that sped us up along the way as well, it was all taking us where we needed to be at that time. And I almost hate this saying, but right now I can't think of an alternative. But for me, it was like trusting the process. And I do not say that in the benefit of hindsight, because I remember saying that or similar at the time as well, in the hard times when we did face another delay. I remember saying to my wife, this is our pace. These things are happening because they're meant to be happening now, and it's telling us something. We might not know the answers yet, but the answers will come. And now, being where I am and looking back, I realize that those answers are that they were guiding us to our children. And sometimes it's incredibly hard to find a reason why or an answer why something's happening, because it can just feel completely shit, completely unfair. And it is. It doesn't take away from that by trying to rationalize it, saying, oh, you know, it's still painful at the time and really hard, but I just try to take that mind frame and zoom out a little bit and say, okay, this is, we used to say, I'll tell you what, actually, what we used to say all the time to each other was that we had been dealt this hand because we were strong enough to deal with it as a couple. And we would literally, and we can obviously never tell these people that, but we would pick out friends, like couples, who we would say this would break them because their relationship might not have been on such a solid foundation, both individually and as a couple, like not strong people. And we would say, we've been given this because we're strong enough to deal with it. And that was, that kept us going. But I also know that it changed me as a person. I've covered this at length in the early series that we did on the podcast, where I really talk about who I was back then compared to who I am now. I'm stronger. And I became stronger throughout that process of going through a real breakdown of who I was as a person, who I was as a man, and rebuilding that. So I wouldn't change that, because the person I am now is a better person. I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father as a result of what I went through. So I wouldn't change it because of that, because of the lessons it taught me, the resilience it gave me, the strength it gave me. And like I said, I know it can sound almost flippant, you know, saying it from hindsight, but truly, I remember changing. I remember the feeling of changing when I was going through this without an answer. I remember starting to open my mind to new ways of thinking, to new, like almost newer pathways, and finding gratitude and things like that, and just really giving myself credit for what I was doing in the moment. And I think that's key. Realize where you are. Take it in. Really sit down sometimes. Look at where you are now. Look at where you were when you started, when you got your diagnosis, how much that would have been crushing at the time. And think about how much, probably on average, how much bad news you've had since then. Of course, you would have had some good news, but think about how you've navigated that bad news since. I guarantee it's probably better than what you did or what you would have before your infertility journey, so to speak. It's a horrible thing to go through. Of course, it's life-changing, but there are many, many lessons and many ways in which you can come out better and stronger as a result. And that's what I clung on to. I just kept telling myself that all the way through. So I feel like I hopefully haven't rambled too far off topic. Well, I haven't really, but it's a long answer because I think it deserves it. Really lean into that sense of self as to who you are, who you're becoming as well. Because it's, to use my name as an example, but I became Sean 2.0 as a result of what I went through. Yeah. Deep one, that, I think. So the third question. We want to tell you about Imperil, the unique supplement for conception, which is recommended by fertility specialists for both men and women. We know that poor nutrition is one of the leading causes of infertility, but we are also aware that it's practically impossible to maintain a diet that's perfectly balanced, especially for conception. Choosing the right supplement can be confusing. Many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants, which may actually damage sperm quality. Imperil is made from activated micronutrients, which help every cell within the human body, from the biggest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These micronutrients have been clinically proven to significantly improve live birth rates for men and women who have previously been struggling to get pregnant. You can find out more and hear from couples who have used Imperil by visiting fertilityfamily.co.uk. If you decide this is for you, there's a 10% discount just for our listeners. So make a note of the code MFPODCAST10. That's capital M, capital F, podcast, all in lowercase, 10. I feel like my wife and I are not the same couple as before we started treatment. We feel distant. I feel like that is probably something that a lot of people go through. We certainly were like that. I like to think that we were like an elastic band. We may have been stretching apart at times, but we always sprung back together. It never snapped. And we found methods of navigating that. It's what I would say Because it obviously, when you are getting that bad news heaped on you each time, or another appointment where they're telling you just to do this or wait for a little bit longer or spend a little bit more money, the pressure heaps. It really does. And where do you go after that? You go home, usually. And that home, our homes are, you know, if you listen in England, it's a saying that a man's home is his castle or something along those lines. It's our place of safety. But sometimes going through something as hard as a fertility struggle, like, you know, navigating treatment, sometimes your home can feel like a prison because it's where those difficult conversations happen. So what we started doing was going out a bit more. And I'm not talking elaborate holidays. Yeah, we did go on holidays throughout where we could afford it, because obviously we had the stress of trying to save money for IVF. But it's just going on day trips, overnighters, little weekend trips, even just in England, just escaping those four walls, because sometimes conversations weren't happening there. We were just going around in circles. So by changing the scenery, getting out, going elsewhere, finding a little bit of joy, think back to who you were before as a couple before the treatment. What brought you joy? What made you laugh as a couple? Try and remember what it was. It's not that far ago, I promise you that. That just have to think about it and try and recreate some of that joy. Was it like go for walks together or playing sports or walking a dog or cycling? Anything that worked for you as a couple before. Try and schedule that in regularly now, afterwards, you know, or like during your treatment, because that is who you were. You haven't changed. Like, as what brought you joy before that will still bring you joy now. It's just sometimes you can lose sight of that and forget those little things. Because, you know, it's not about going to a five-star resort in the Maldives or whatever. It's the little everyday things that make you fall in love in the first place, that then make you want to settle down and then try and start a family. And then obviously the unforeseen has happened. But go back to that. Bring that joy back into your life where possible. And of course, you know, the infertility thing is always lurking somewhere. But if you can just forget about it for an hour, for a few minutes while you're doing something that brings you joy. And like I said, try and escape a little bit as well. Go somewhere new, explore, because that will open up new neural pathways in your mind. Anyway, that kind of new thing of not treading the same shit every day, the appointments, phoning up, having to just go through all that stress. Go out and explore, get lost together. Just go and try and have some fun in amongst it all. Try to live whilst waiting rather than waiting to live. It's easier said than done, but it can be done because of what we did. We went through this, you know, like I said, try and be like elastic bands. And even though there might be a bit of tension sometimes, you come back together. And it is possible. And it's about finding that joy. I tell you what is as important as well, is I'm talking, what I've mentioned there is a lot about stuff together. Also, make sure that you're getting time to yourself as well. And that might sound counterintuitive as to, like, you know, trying to remain a solid couple. But if you are like what I did, I started isolating myself from my friends, from my family as well too. But mostly what comes to mind in this example for me is, I was isolating myself from my friends because I was terrified that of triggers of hearing another pregnancy announcement, or that I would want to be desperately wanting to tell them, but I wouldn't. And it was heaping more and more pressure on me. So I just was avoiding things that would bring me joy and give me an escape, usually from day-to-day life before the infertility stuff. So I started doing those again. And just by going to the pub with your mates or playing football or whatever, it gives you that complete escape. And, you know, I think it was the first question tonight about someone being ready to tell their friends. Even after I told my mates, I then said to them when we would meet up, look, I don't want to talk about that today. And sometimes they would ask me questions almost out of duty or politeness, it would feel sometimes. And I really appreciate that. But I'd say, look, I appreciate you asking, but I just don't want to go there today. I just want to come and forget about it. And that is so important, just to have your times where you're escaping it, even if it's for an hour in the gym, or like I said, playing football, or whatever else it is, that can really fill your cup, give you that energy, that dopamine endorphin hit if you're doing something active, for example, which will then allow you to go back to your partner, feel refreshed, having had that time away from it as well. And it gives you more energy to then give back to her. So ensure that you're getting that time to yourself, whether it's with others or to yourself. You know, again, I found that making sure I exercised every day, and it's, again, not about going hell for leather. It's if I was just going out for a walk, just getting my own headspace. And what I found actually really, really a good use of my time was I'd go for a long walk, but not have headphones in. Sometimes I would, of course, I just want to listen to loud music or a podcast, but I found some real solitude in going for a long walk in nature without headphones and just listening to the environment, to nature, but also to my own thoughts. And then again, it allowed me to go back to my missus refreshed. My cup was more full, which enabled me then to be able to give more to her. So yeah, absolutely. Reconnect, disconnect. It's probably the weirdest answer, but the best I can think of at the moment. Like, as I said, it might sound at odds, but yeah, time apart. And when I say time apart, you know, I haven't said it's not about weekends away, but of course, there's nothing wrong with that. I know plenty of people who do that during their infertility. It can be an hour. So just make sure you're getting that. Fill up your own cup and time together as well. Doing the things that brought you joy before you were going through this shit, because that joy is still there, I promise you. Just seek it out, grind it out, schedule it if you need to. And just, yeah, you can do this. Reconnect with yourself, with your partner. Okay. Hopefully I've hit the nail on the head with that one. It was a bit of a rambler again, but this is, I think with all of this, there's no concise, simple answer often. It is an exploration of my own thoughts as well as trying to answer these questions. That brings us to the end of this week's mailbag. And I believe, unless I'm mistaken, that brings us to the end of this series. I think all the episodes are done. All the mailbags are done. So we're going to take a short break on the podcast, but it doesn't mean we're going anywhere. You can always find us. We are always available. We are always here for guys and their partners if you need to ask us questions on behalf of your fella. You can find us in various places. So first of all, the podcast, you can contact us at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram is at themalefertilitypodcast, or at Nexus Fertility on our support platform. You can pretty much connect to everything, our podcast and us. So Nexus with an X and Y, nexusfertility.com, or on Instagram at Nexus Fertility. So like I said, short break on the pod, but we ain't going anywhere. We're still here in the background, still planning what we're doing, and we're probably, even at the time this goes out, we're probably even recording the next series. It's just going to be a little bit of break between the episodes coming out. So yeah, we're not going anywhere. We're always here for you. You know where we are, and we're always happy to answer your questions. But until the next series, I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you found value in today's conversation, please follow the show and share with someone who might benefit.